Martha's devotion because you work very hard, but it has no direction. Your life has effort without enjoyment. Your life has movement without mission. You are going nowhere, expending your effort in a useless enterprise. This was Isaiah's summation of the human condition when he wrote chapter 55 of his book. Let me read the first three verses for you. Isaiah 55, 1-3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and ye that have no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And look at the next verse. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfy not? Why are you engaged in a useless enterprise? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And listen to the invitation now. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So Jesus calls us because we're expending our strength in useless enterprises. Again, Jesus calls you because you are burdened. You are crushed by the load that you bear. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, crushed. I'm sure you have seen a truck that is heavy laden trying to go over a hill. And how does it accomplish the task? Very slow. Is it slowly or slow? Very slowly. With great difficulty. Burden. Jesus calls us because we are burdened. We are crushed by the load we bear. Jesus calls us because we are held hostage by the circumstances of our lives. Your life may have all the trappings of a good life. The visible signs of success are there for all to see. The house on the hill, the nice car, party, and all of that. Friends, the visible signs of success. But it is a burdened life. Prosperous, but burdened. And burdens, as you know, impede movement. You want to move faster than you are doing now, but you are restrained by burdens of all kinds. Emotional burdens. Financial burdens. And when I talk about financial burdens, I am not just talking about a state of poverty. I am talking about persons having so much money that they are impeded. They do not know how to move. That is possible. You're burdened physically. Burdened spiritually. But I say to you this afternoon, remember the words of the song. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. And the Bible writer says we are to cast all our cares on him, for he cares for us. So Jesus calls because people are burdened. Thirdly, Jesus calls you because you are tired. Very tired. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
You need rest when you are tired. But you have to be very careful about how you rest and when you rest, you know. I like to say to people that those who are at rest are at mid arrest. So you have to watch the kind of rest. But Jesus calls you because you are tired. You have run out of energy. You have run out of gas. You are empty. Sin took you further than you planned to go, and it has kept you longer than you planned for. Oh yes, sin has taken your princely existence and has given you a pig's life. You keep the company of pigs. You eat the food of pigs. You think the thoughts of pigs. You are a pig. But one day, in your pigliness, you hear the voice of Jesus say, and I made that word, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I give you rest. You come to your senses, you arise, you say, the pigsty is no longer my place of dwelling. I will arise and go to my Father. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I am coming home. So you get up and you go. You start moving. And you soon find out that you're on your way home. As soon as the trip back home begins, you realize that you have enough energy, even though you're tired, to make it to Jesus. What do you say to that? So Jesus calls because you are tired, because we are tired. Fourthly, Jesus calls you so that he may make an improvement or many improvements in your life. We think of some Bible characters. I'll just use three of them. Blind Bartimaeus, this man, the son of Timaeus, he lived in a world of darkness, gross darkness. He couldn't enjoy the lovely sights of a summer rose. Couldn't do that. He couldn't see the skies that are blue, according to Ray Charles. Couldn't do that. He lived in a dark world. And Jesus was passing in his area. And blind Bartimaeus recognized that Jesus was passing by. And he cried out loud, Jesus! And he got the master's attention. Jesus, and everybody said, keep quiet, you're making noise. But he kept on saying, Jesus! And Jesus said, go and call him. Bring him to me. Come unto me, blind Bartimaeus. And he came and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I want to see, Lord. I do not know what seeing is like. I can appreciate hearing. I can appreciate feeling. I can appreciate tasting. And what is the other one? Smelling. But Lord, I do not know what it means to see. I want to see. And Jesus said, go your way in peace. It shall be well with you. And blind Bartimaeus looked up and the skies were blue. Jesus called him to make an improvement on his life. Tell you about another man. By the way, the story of blind Bartimaeus, Mark chapter 10, 46 to 52, you can read it. Another man, St. John chapter 5, 1 to 9. We do not know his name. The Bible describes him as a sick and impotent man. Now, you have to make sure that you understand what that word impotence means. He didn't have to take any tablets for that. That was the kind. This man, he had lost mobility in his legs. And for 38 years, he was living a squalid life. He did everything in one place. He ate, he passed refuse. He did everything in one place. He was at the bottom of the bottom. Jesus left church one day and went into the area where the man was. And he established voice contact with the man, something I imagine which was very rare. He said, would you like to be better? The man said, sure, I would like to be made better, but you know, I have been trusting in some systems that do not work. Every time this pool moves, every time that it is troubled, and I try to step down, somebody else steps down before me. Jesus said, you have been putting trust in the wrong system. Look to me. And they look, Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. And guess what? The man believed Jesus. He took up his bed. Strength returned to his legs and he walked. Jesus made an improvement on his life. There are many people today, like that man living in squalor and filth. Jesus is prepared to make a difference in your life. Whether you live in the ghetto, or you live in Norbrook or Cherry Gardens, Jesus wants to make an improvement in your life. What do you say to that? I'll tell you about another man. Another man. His name is Matthew. Matthew. Matthew was also called. Matthew had a job at the revenue. A tax collector. Or a tax farmer. And those guys who worked in the revenue back then, they had some problems that present day tax collectors have. You know, they are beneficiaries of some some disproportionate large, somebody says, you know. They used to take more than four times the amount that was required. Zacchaeus was one of them. That was why when Jesus met the rich Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus said, Lord, you know, as a sign of my commitment to you, as an expression of my conversion, I will give back four times the amount that I have taken. When Zacchaeus returned that, he wasn't touching his salary. Matthew was like that. A rich man. Man of great wealth and sophistication. Matthew was a page two guy. Is it in the Gleaner or the Observer? Which of them? I don't remember. But Matthew was a page two guy. Was well off. He was sitting at work. And Jesus passed by and he said, come, follow me. And the big man, the responsible man, the rich man, he walked away from his job to follow Jesus, who never had a job to give him. But as Matthew looked at Jesus, he saw character. He saw personality. He saw something lasting, something that would outlive all of his wealth. And he identified with Jesus Christ. That same Jesus is passing by somebody's desk, somebody's workplace, saying, come, follow me. Be like Matthew and follow Jesus. But Jesus added value to his life as he will to yours. And let me tell you this. You must allow him to. And I want to get this in. We must perish the thought that Christianity is a religion for poor people. Some of you are sorry for Christians because you say, oh, we are stupid to believe in God and we are stupid to be making sacrifices and all of that. But Christianity is not a religion just for poor people. Matthew was a rich man. He alone could have financed Jesus' operations. He alone could have done it. Nicodemus was a rich man. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. And there are many rich women supporting the works of Jesus. Let me tell you something. Rich people in Jamaica and elsewhere, God is richer than you are. The earth is the Lord. The Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. and those who like to bribe people and buy out, you cannot bribe God. You cannot buy out God. I would urge you to use your wealth, use your influence to support the cause of God. So Jesus called the Matthews, the Zacchaeuses, and the rich young ruler to himself. And I say to you today, if you heed that call, he will improve your life. Whoever you are, wherever you are from, if you respond to the call of Jesus, your life will be improved. I remember in the old days, let's say in the 80s, there were some Adventist preachers like Pastor Mankind Campbell. He used to say, when you come to God, if you're a gunman, he will make you into a God man. If you're a weed man, he makes you into a word man. If you're a drunkard, he makes you into a deacon. He improves your life. Yes. So what shall you do? Shall you remain where you are, in the condition that you are, in your pigliness, in your blindness, in your filthiness, in your sinful sophistication? It is up to you. What shall you do? Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You are invited too. Jesus offers rest. This is more than physical rest. It is rest from the burdens of your anxieties. It is also rest from the work of sin in our lives. Just pause for a moment and look at what sin has done to us. Even the best of us. Sin adds pain to us. It subtracts our joy. It divides our peace. And it multiplies our sorrows. Sin fills us with anxieties and empties us of confidence. Sin convolutes us like a spiral, like the loop of Henle, so that we become crooked even when we are standing straight. Sin causes us to think upside down thoughts and to live upside down lives. Sin destroys the harmony of our families and robs us of the peace that we have with God. Sin breeds terrorism and anarchy, but it abhors kindness and right thinking. And this is not all. Consider the disproportionate value between labor given and compensation received. Consider the huge volume of the world's resources that is marshaled to meet the unbridled demands of a rich minority, while the poor majority do not even have safe drinking water. Consider that the jails and prisons are flooded with young men from a particular social class, while others who are guilty of the same or worse offenses go free because they are from a different social grouping. Consider that some nations can, with impunity, block your exports from getting into their marketplace, while you are incapable of preventing them from flooding your marketplace with inferior goods. These are the works of sin in our lives. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I cannot enumerate the works of sin, it is easier for me to try to enumerate the works of the National Works Agency. But Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will do what? I will give you rest. Rest. So Jesus offers rest from the works of sin in our lives. He offers partnership with him. That is why he says, take my yoke upon you. So in that partnership, we take the yoke upon us. We are tied together. We are joined together at the neck for service with Jesus. So we pull together. When we do this, we no longer work alone. He works with us and does his works, not the works of sin in us. When we are yoked up with Jesus, Jesus challenges us. He challenges those who come to him to redeploy and redirect their intellectual energy. So here is the challenge. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That is the challenge. Learn of me. Redirect, redeploy. Learn of me, and you shall find rest unto your soul. It is in that learning that we find rest. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, fellow Jamaicans, I implore all of you to come to Jesus before he comes to you. He came to us once as a lamb and a servant. He's coming back as a lion and a king. That is the event to which the world races. Those who do not run to Jesus now will be running from him then. How soon will this be? I do not know the date, but I know that it will be very soon. How do I know that it will be very soon? The signs are everywhere. In Japan, Libya, Egypt, you know all the places. Those who have eyes to see can see. Those who have ears to hear can hear. Amen. Jesus is coming back to earth again. Amen. Before he comes back, he invites you to come to him. Amen. So let me finish where we started. Come unto me, says Jesus. Yes. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Will individuals comprising the National Works Agency family accept this invitation and take the first steps? Shall all the worshippers here do that? Let us come to Jesus and receive life everlasting. God bless all of you.